You're listening to This Week in UX for Friday, November 13th, 2009. Happy World Usability Day! Welcome to This Week in UX. I'm Joseph Dickerson, a user experience architect based out of Atlanta, Georgia. And this podcast is about all things UX, UI design, interaction design, information architecture, what have you. As many of you know, November 12th was World Usability Day, and I was fortunate enough to attend a fantastic event thrown by a local user experience consulting firm, User Insight. I was at that event last night and was able to snag some interesting interviews with some key people who also attended the event. If you listen closely in one of the interviews, you'll see a very special moment occur right in the middle of the conversation. So without further ado, let me go ahead and go to the interviews. Hi, Joe Dickerson here, just talking to several people here at the User Insight event on World Usability Day. I was able to corner a gentleman and strap him to a chair, so if you can introduce yourself for the listening audience.
Sure, I'm Chuck Honfirst. I work for OneSpring, local consulting company here in Atlanta.
Okay, and tell me again what OneSpring does.
We specialize in helping companies better define their software projects.
Okay.
So we specialize in that requirements phase of any technology project, helping stakeholders get a better idea of what it is they're asking for.
Okay.
And documenting it. And we use a technique called visualization.
Okay.
So we use a tool, one of the tools we use is iRise,
okay,
which lets you basically see your requirements. And more importantly, it lets you experience them.
Okay. And the iRise tool, I'm familiar with it. It allows you to basically map requirements to user scenarios and then extend those scenarios into prototypes that you can then package up and send to clients. Is that kind of how you use the tool?
Well, we actually have come up with a unique approach to it. We call it a JAM session, Joint Application Modeling. So everyone's been to a JAD session, right?
Yeah.
A Joint Application Development session. With a JAM session, we are in a room not unlike the one we're in now with multiple monitors, and we kind of have a right brain, left brain thing going on where on one screen, we've got the traditional documentation that you would collect at one of these sessions.
Yep.
The other screen is your right brain, which is your creative side. Or did I have that backwards?
Flip a coin, I think you'll,
yeah,
you'll be right half the time.
Either way, the concept is right brain, left brain, creative, more analyst-type roles. And what we do is live in a session, in one of these JAM sessions, is we bring requirements to life.
Okay.
So essentially, users will say, I want my system. It could be an intranet, it could be a client server, it could be mainframe, it could really be anything. I want the system to do X.
Yeah.
We actually put it up on the screen, and we say, you mean like this? And people say yes, or more importantly, no. And we call it kind of the clarity gap. So, you know, in traditional requirements processes or a software development lifecycle, you don't really get to see what it is you're defining until QA or user acceptance testing. Right? So that's the first time stakeholders actually get to see it. Sure, there's wireframes and there's Photoshop, you know, mock-ups and things like that, but they can't really touch it. They can't feel it. They can see it, but they can't really experience it. So with our process, they see it, they experience it early.
Okay.
As opposed to that UA QA testing where they see it for the first time and go, oh, that's not really what I wanted. And then, of course, that has all this rework involved. Technology is upset because the stakeholders didn't think through the requirements. It's more costly for everyone in the long run. The project gets delayed. And, you know, 70% of projects are delayed because of requirement defects.
Yeah.
So we basically move that moment in time up early in the process.
Okay. And I'm a firm believer in my experience that the old saying, a picture's worth 1,000 words, is incredibly appropriate when it comes to software development. And an interaction model is worth, I guess, 10 to 100,000.
Well, we say it's worth a library.
There you are.
That's kind of our quote.
So, obviously, you're here for World Usability Day.
I am.
What is the one thing that you try and bring when it comes to usability and interaction design to your clients? What's the one secret sauce in your approach, above and beyond the JAM sessions that you just kind of spoke to?
I mean, I guess I would sum it up to really be keep it simple. I mean, it's really just about making it simple, straightforward for the user, and put on the user's hat. Everyone's a user, but, you know, clearing through that clutter and just making it simple.
Gotcha.
So how do you keep up with what's going on in the industry? And you know, is there any particular sites or any particular content areas you go to on the web?
I'm kind of a technology junkie.
Okay.
So, and a usability junkie. So I'm a big Apple fan. I follow Apple quite a bit. And there's certainly a number of blogs out there that I'll pay attention to and try to keep touch with what's going on. So there's not necessarily any one particular thing, but there's lots of little things that I'll go out there and look for and find and be fascinated by.
What do you think the next big challenge as a design group, you know, or designers individually, is when it comes to experience design in the 21st century? The future.
It's a scary place. You know, I think one of the challenges that we continue to have as user experience professionals is trying to sell what it is we do.
Yeah.
And I think it's gotten easier in the last few years with things like the iPod, and you know, people can start to actually understand when we're pitching to them why usability and user experience and interaction is important. People are starting to get it more than they used to, but it's still always a struggle. And I think it's also, we sometimes take ourselves a little too seriously. And I think it's sometimes you have to do what you have to do, you know, you get her done.
Yeah.
You know, we would love for our clients to spend a lot of money on user testing and usability and HCI and all that great stuff, and we know it's important. But the realities of it is they're not always going to have that. So I guess it's taking a more realistic, common sense approach to it and being able to step back and say, well, okay, yeah, but doing a traditional user study here would be great. But the client doesn't have the money, there's no time for it, so it's finding creative ways to accomplish the same goals, but you know, doing it within the time and budget constraints.
So what do you think about the guerrilla usability type of approach?
And that's exactly, and I hesitate to use the word guerrilla because that kind of upsets some usability folks that, right. You know, that's not proper and that sort of a thing. But I think in a lot of instances that will get you almost as far as you need to go, and in a lot of cases, that's enough. That's enough to move the needle. That's enough to make the client happy, and more importantly, it's enough to make the system more usable.
Great. Well, my final question is, what are you hyping? What's the URL people can go to learn about your company and what y'all do?
It's www.onespring.net, onespring.net.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time. I've been able to grab another person. Gentlemen, please give me your name, rank, and serial number.
Of course. My name is Ali Sean Atfer. My serial number is far too long to talk about.
Oh, okay. So is it one of those numbers that's like pi that just regresses eternally?
It is, and it's been translated into binary, which makes it even longer.
Oh, 10011101100.
That's the exact pattern. Just keep on.
Oh, okay. Matt. I am so good. You didn't know I was psychic. So
I didn't.
So anyway, you're here at User Insights celebrating World Usability Day. Mm-hmm. Tell me why.
Well, the firm that I work with is always interested in expanding its understanding of usability and making sure its clients are as aware of how very broad usability is. And that's not just being able to do something easily, but doing something in a way that makes you want to do it again.
Okay, so it's that attractiveness, it's that positive experience, the positive reinforcement
that comes from
the experience. So tell me what your company is.
My company is Info Retail. We design brands for companies that have very strong presences in big box retailers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So do you design both the online presence and also the physical locations?
Yes, we do. And we make sure that the experience that they have online and offline is aligned correctly.
Okay.
It may not be exactly the same, but it's appropriate for both environments.
So I understand that the Apple stores, for example, since this is obviously a user experience type of mm-hmm. podcast, we're going to talk about Apple.
Of course.
It's kind of like, you know, the magic word, like on what you bet your life. As soon as we say Apple, the duck falls from the ceiling. I understand Apple just did their year-end reset for the holidays, both online and offline. So they spent a lot of time bringing in people to reset their shelves and reset their point-of-purchase displays. So are you involved in designing that strategy, or is that something?
That's correct. Whether it's from store planning, product organization, the flow of the user in the store versus the flow of the user online, that is where we're involved. It's actually interesting you bring it up. I used to work for Apple as one of their trainers for their retail associates and also trainers for their for their customers in the one-to-one program. And one of the things that we were always fascinated by was how each experience of buying a product, whether it was in-store or online, had a very specific Apple character, but was always as easy as it could be for that environment, which is to say the in-store environment had the Easy Pay device that many of the individuals used to ring you out. Yeah. And online, it was always very clear how to check out no matter where you were.
So what I think is...
Kindle. I won the Kindle.
Oh, and ladies and gentlemen, we have, as we're recording this...
Thank you. No, I appreciate
this. As we're recording this, I'm actually interviewing for my podcast the gentleman who just won from User Insight. The Kindle they were giving away for World Usability Day.
Thank you very much. I'll come and thank you in just a moment.
So we just had the User Insight individual come and tell you this. So how do you feel at this moment, right now?
I'm thrilled about being able to use more e-ink and exploring how awesome it will be for our future.
Okay. So you've not had the opportunity, have you had the opportunity to hold or caress or fondle the Kindle at any point?
I have not. I'm a virgin to the Kindle.
Oh, okay. Well, I am too. So when we have the unwrapping later, we'll have a moment.
That's lovely.
So, don't tell my wife. But just to continue on. That was a good interruption. Very glad that happened.
It's that kind of podcast. I assure you.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a very casual guy, and I'm also an open source guy, so I'll just talk, and sometimes when I shouldn't.
That's all right. They know I'm not wearing pants right now, right?
No. Let's leave. We'll edit that out in post. So, one of the things I find interesting about the Apple experience, and I'll actually kind of get serious for a moment. What I found I love about the Apple experience is they've embraced the idea, and I'm sure your company has as well, that user experience is not just limited to the desktop, to the computer, to the online presence or the applications the company sells. User experience is the whole experience, whether it's customer support, whether it's the retail experience, mm-hmm. Whether it's the advertising, it's the whole package.
Correct.
So I'm assuming y'all have a similar approach when it comes to designing experience models for your customers.
We try to encourage that kind of thinking, mainly because there is no exhaustive list of where your experience stops, as you were mentioning precisely. But to frequently find occasions where an individual is interacting with your brand, whether it's a different type of technology, a different type of physical environment, a different sense that they're engaging, all of these have immediate roles in how you interact with a brand, a product, a group. And being able to very clearly make that a priority with the clients is exciting for not only our company, but it also allows us to address so many more problems that might not have been as clear beforehand.
Yeah, so again, a great opportunity to talk to you, and I'm very glad that I wrestled you away from the cheesecake and the donuts order to have the... This man actually is 480 pounds. It's an amazing thing. I couldn't... You had to move the wall
and it's
to bring
all
you
in my
in.
Shoulders. That's
it's
the
all
thing.
In the upper body.
Yeah.
It's all bulk.
A very odd intestinal tract.
All right, well, if anyone wants to seek out your company and what they do, where would they go on ye old internet?
They would seek www.inforetail.com.
All right. It was great talking to you. And go play pleasure. With your Kindle.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Much obliged.
Once again, I was able to grab another person to strap into the Clockwork Orange chair and ask questions about UX. And this person actually is an old friend of mine. I'm talking to Colleen Jones, who is the current president of Chi Atlanta. Colleen, how are you doing today?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. So are you enjoying the World Usability Day celebration here?
I am. I think World Usability Day should always be celebrated with alcohol and good food and good usability professionals.
And good company, too.
Don't
forget the good company.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Early on, we just had the person I was talking to win a Kindle, thanks to User Insight. And since User Insight is providing the beverage for tonight, I'm actually giving them as many plugs as I can throughout the conversation. But tell me a little bit about Chi Atlanta. Every time Chi has an interesting program, I can't get to it because of work-related issues. So tell me what's going on there.
Chi Atlanta is Atlanta's largest and most active forum for user experience professionals in Atlanta. So we have usually 8 to 9 pretty major events a year. And for the past couple of years, we've been really working to bring in thought leaders and people from around the country into Atlanta for those programs and events. We also have some social events as well, so lots of great networking opportunities, and really just a place where people who care about user experience can learn more, meet people who have a similar mind, and really just grow in their professional development.
So bringing together the gestalt, as
yes,
it were, the
yes.
gestalt of these talented individuals.
Exactly.
You brought in some interesting people. What's been the most interesting person you brought in to Chi Atlanta so far?
That
and I know it, you might make mad people, make people mad who you don't say. So obviously, name drop everybody if you need to.
Yeah, I think that it's tough to pick just one person, but I would say overall, this year we've had a really wide range of topics and a wide range of people. And we've received, you know, many compliments and comments on that. I think that people, the members and other people who attend really notice that. I think one of the most interesting ones I would have to call out to content strategy, which is obviously a topic near and dear to my heart. Was the topic of our August event, which was a joint event with Atlanta Interactive Marketing Association. And we had Christina Halverson host a panel of people from around Atlanta, companies from around Atlanta, from different perspectives on content. So we had marketing, we had design, we had content management, IT. And that was just a really great discussion and a really great way to introduce this emerging discipline. We got a lot of great comments about that. The other event and set of panelists that I think really stood out for me was actually our last event around health records. So we had representatives, we had Susie Gates from CDC, and we had representatives from Kaiser Permanente and a tech firm talk about health records and the opportunity that user experience has to really improve them and make them all that they can be.
Okay. So you and I both have the shared experience of having worked at the CDC. You and I both have the shared experience of having worked at Singular before you moved into content management space. So we have a little bit of history. I won't go into that history, but I want to, instead of looking back, I want to look a little forward. You know, we're in the 21st century, and there's these devices like the iPhone and the rumored iTablet coming from Apple and all these cutting-edge pieces of technology. How do you see content fitting into experience design? And again, didn't give you any prep on this, so I apologize. But this seems to be your passion. I think you probably talk off the cuff probably pretty well about that.
Right. Well, I see content as really the stuff that fills and makes the experience. So once you have things like usability, accessibility, the structure, the information architecture, once you have those things really done well, then those things kind of become transparent to the user. And for things like websites, mobile applications that are heavily focused on content, really what stands out at that point is the content. And if your content isn't measuring up to those other things, to your great visuals, your great design, your great usability, people are going to notice pretty quickly. And I think there's a lot of opportunity, and I think we're just starting to tap into the potential of content to really have an impact on the user experience.
Yeah. And as I mentioned to a previous person I talked to tonight, The user experience is the sum total of everything, as you referred to. It's not just the design, it's what is in the design that matters, and it's important to make sure that's right as well.
Yes.
So,
yes.
What's coming up for Kai? What's coming up in the near future?
November 19th. We've got a great event lined up about prototyping. We've got a couple of perspectives from a tool standpoint. So we've got someone actually from User Insight who is going to talk about using Axure, a pretty common tool these days for prototyping. We also have Scott McDowell with OneSpring who's going to talk about iRise, another big tool for prototyping. And then we're going to have a representative from Philips Design talk about other sorts of prototyping, product prototyping, packaging prototyping, and have a little bit different spin on prototyping, which I think will be neat.
Okay.
So we'll look at the pros and cons and have a little bit of case study mixed in.
Okay, great. And next to last question, Kai Atlanta, Kai 2010. April, I believe, next year, Kai is coming to Atlanta.
Yes, Kai, the big mothership, the international conference is landing here in Atlanta. It's a great opportunity for Atlanta to really show that they're on the map when it comes to user experience, human-computer interaction. It's heavily tied to Georgia Tech, of course, and the theme is We Are HCI, which I think is a great theme. And there is still a lot of opportunity for people to sponsor, to submit posters and presentations. And the website has a lot of great information about what they're planning. And Kai Atlanta is going to be involved, of course. We're going to help provide information about Atlanta. And also, we're going to have an exhibition booth where we're going to really talk about what Atlanta is doing in terms of HCI, and we're going to have some sponsorship opportunities with that as well.
Great. So the last obligatory question, which is the question regarding plugs, where on the internet, that vast expanse of content and information, can people find out about both you and Kai Atlanta?
They can find out about me at Leen Jones, LeenJones.com, and you can find out about Kai Atlanta at www.kaiachia.org.
Okay, and of course you gotta give a mad shout out to your Twitter account as well. We can't leave it just with those two.
Right, Twitter is Leen Jones, LeenJones.
So follow Colleen, everyone who's listening to this. So thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Joe.
All right.
So that was that. I'd like to thank Chuck, Alison, and Colleen for the opportunity to talk to them about user experience. And I hope that everyone listening had a good and happy World Usability Day. I know I did. I definitely enjoyed the great food and company at the User Insight Party. Again, if you're interested in using a local company in Atlanta for some great usability work, they're your group. You can find out more about them at userinsight.com, and I'd like to thank them once again for their hospitality. That is This Week in UX. I will be traveling for business next week, but I may still be able to post an episode. We'll see. Thanks again for listening.